Hello, how are you? This is the B Show, a wrestling podcast. I'm Dixon.
I'm Fancy Jay. What the dilly?
I haven't slept in a few days. This could be interesting.
Am I going to get punchy Dixon again?
Yeah, I might punch you a couple times.
Oh, Jesus. What about punchy attitude?
Most definitely. In my memory shot, dude, I'm literally fried. So I'll apologize out there if I say or do anything offensive to either you or anybody out there in the world.
Wait. So if your memory is shot, most people when they say their memory is shot is they can't remember something. You're apologizing in case you are offensive or mean to me.
Right, because my memory is part of, like, I have to constantly remind myself to be nice.
So if you forget to do that, then you turn into an ass.
Yeah. I did bring plenty of beverages, though. I have a 52-ounce water. I am about two-thirds of the way through my second extra-large Dunkin' Donuts iced tea. And just because I need the caffeine, I got two cans of ice-cold Pepsi.
Oh, wow. So we'll be taking at least two pee breaks during the
Probably
show.
Probably three.
Three? All right. So how was your week?
Two in the bathroom, one in your mouth.
Jesus, dude.
They don't call you Golden Jay.
Is your goal to get as dirty as possible as soon as the show opens?
No, I just try and make you uncomfortable as early in the show as possible. Really.
I mean, we've started out with me being sandwiched between two dudes to
a potential prison rape situation.
Prison rape situation.
Where you have to choose ass or mouth.
Yeah, to now you pee in my mouth, so I didn't even get to choose.
I didn't say in, I said on.
On my mouth, okay, so yeah. I get to close it. Well, at least I have that option. Thank you for that.
I can visually see it dripping through your short little beard.
Oh, come on,
down
man.
Down into your hairy chest.
And now that every listener just turned off the show.
Dirty. Sorry.
But you need some sleep, man.
I got issues, man.
That was mixed with creepiness, horniness, and just straight
Oh, that wasn't
grossness.
Horniness. That was just straight gross and creepy.
Ugh, gosh. So how was your week?
I probably couldn't get erect right now if...
Because you're so tired?
Yeah, if Jennifer Hudson was here doing that, like, grind.
So if you had Jennifer Hudson and the hottest little person in the world walk through that door right now, you wouldn't even be able to get it up?
Oh, if there's a midget involved, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So yeah.
Best threesome ever. Two dudes and then one other dude. Or me with Jennifer Hudson and a hot midget. Those are your two choices. You're going two dudes and another dude every time.
If I had to choose between...
The lucky Pierre or the threesome with the midget and Jennifer Hudson, which way are you going?
Dude, Jennifer Hudson's sexy.
Going
with that, man.
I don't think she'd like you.
Why not?
Because you look like Byron Saxton.
She does like white boys. So what you're saying is I don't look like a white boy.
Well, you do. You're definitely very white.
I'm just kidding. She doesn't like, I don't know what she likes since she's married to
She like David like Otunga.
Dude, he's a good looking guy, man. He's jacked. And he's super smart.
It's amazing what steroids will do for you.
Hey. He must be. He must
He's
know
not
how
in
to
ring
take
anymore,
the proper
so
cycle.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't get tested.
Well, not only that, but he knows how it'll affect his body because he's so smart. He's a lawyer. He can get out of this stuff, man. That's
he's
a soda,
something.
Not a beer.
Yeah, I don't drink alcohol, but this is a delicious ice cold Pepsi.
And no, they are not sponsoring us. So, how was your freaking week?
Long, arduous, tedious, chaotic.
Yes.
Yeah, the highlight of my week, truthfully, was there's this band from Syracuse called Barroom Philosophers. Check them out. Reggae-tinged rock and roll. If you were to take classic Sublime, modern Red Hot Chili Peppers, John Popper's voice to a degree, and then the band Mountain and make like a weird sex milkshake out of it, you would have the Barroom Philosophers. Check them out, Barroom Philosophers. Search it on Facebook and whatnot. Their debut self-titled album just came out this past Friday night. They sold out a local venue with over 300 people in it, and they're currently out of records, so you'll have to stream the album for now, but it is self-titled. It's dope. Barroom Philosophers. Barroom, one word.
When you say stream, like stream for free or stream buy it?
There's one song, which is the single Peter Parker that I believe is on either their Bandcamp or Reverb Nation, and then you can buy the album like Amazon, iTunes, stuff like that.
Awesome.
And I've listened to it probably 300 times in the last 2 weeks. It's so good.
Yeah, you just played it in a song before we went on, man. It's
the
really
single,
good.
Peter Parker.
Yeah, that's good. It was a mix between...
smoking that weed.
How would you describe the genre? Because the lead singer we were talking about...
Do you not
about...
listen when I talk? I said it's old Sublime, modern Red Hot Chili Peppers, John Popper's voice to a degree, and then the band Mountain, and then you make a weird sex milkshake between all those things, and you get Barroom Philosophers.
Wow, I've never heard of Mountain.
Yes, you have.
No, I really haven't. I mean, maybe I've heard their Queen? Song. What's that?
Mississippi Queen. You've never heard Mississippi Queen.
Maybe not.
You no. have. It's We're, a classic rock staple.
Dude, I told you, I'm more into hip-hop. Mississippi Queen.
Yeah.
By who?
Mountain.
Mountain.
Leslie West, one of the most prolific Southern guitar players of all time.
Is it like the Southern rock, like Lynyrd Skynyrd and like that type of stuff?
Guitar-wise, yes. Music and songwriting, it's more along the lines of like a early jam band, sort of. Not necessarily Grateful Dead, but more of like an Allman Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not like Fish.
No, God, no. Fuck Fish.
Yeah, I was going to say, thank goodness.
And that was P-H-U-C-K, Fish.
Yeah. With a P-H.
Yeah.
Who you got? We're recording this Sunday morning.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday.
And we can say that on a podcast. Yeah, I can't say it on the air at the radio station, but I can say Super Bowl all I want right now. Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Super Bowl. Wait, you can't say Super Bowl on the air?
No.
Why not?
Evidently, the NFL gets really cross, and then they sue you, and then I get fired.
So
I have to refer to it as the big game, on Sunday.
Is that why everybody says the big game?
Yeah.
I was always wondering why they always say the big game. Or
you can't say NFL. You can't say like.
You can't even say NFL?
Yeah, and you can't say like Patriots or Falcons. You have to say New England, or you have to say like Atlanta.
That's idiotic. Why wouldn't the NFL want them to promote it?
Who knows, man? It's a weird world, and I just try and live in it.
That's weird shit. Because even if you're going to say something negative about it, whether it's you say New England, Atlanta, the big game, this game is going to suck, I'm not looking forward to it, or if you say something positive, they're going to know what you're talking about.
It's the same thing with March Madness. I can say March Madness here, but I can't say that on the air. I can't even say NCAA. I can't say Syracuse Orange, man. I just have to say Syracuse.
It's Syracuse Orange, anyway.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but here's that I can... I don't agree with it, but I can understand it just because it's amateurs and it's a different type of thing. Look, the NFL is a corporation. It'd be like not being able to talk about Target. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm not allowed to name drop stores on the air without them spending money.
But is that station protocol or is that FCC protocol?
That's just common sense.
Really?
Who wants to give Target free plugs? Fuck that place.
I love Target.
I do not.
What? Target blows away Walmart or Kmart or whatever mart that you have out there.
The Quickie Mart?
Yeah, the Quickie Mart. Yeah, Target's the bomb, man.
I don't know. I think a lot of stuff at Target's like super overpriced, that's all.
Well, compared to Walmart, probably. But that's like, I don't want to go down that path.
The big blue box?
I don't want to go down that path where Hillbilly I get Supreme. Anger half of our listeners that love Walmart. It's a scary place when you walk in there at certain times during.
Try going to the one by my house.
During the day or at night, you kind of get freaked out. All right, so who do you got into tonight's game?
Pats.
Well, okay, that was quick. I'm taking the Falcons.
Of course you are. Because you're having the worst football year ever.
What are you talking about? I was 8-0 and then lost two games championship weekend, which a lot of people did, and you lost one of two. So you've all. I was.
Yeah, but I'm not braggadocious like you are.
What are you talking about? That's all you do is brag.
Nah.
I mean, you will hear me brag when we talk about the Royal Rumble. Bam, Veelstradamus. Fancy Jay Stradamus is right again. Oh. Anyway.
Excuse me, that's what I think of you.
That was super duper.
That
heavy.
Was super disgusting, too. That was like two different kinds of iced tea, Pepsi, and the ham, egg, and cheese, everything bagel.
I was about to say,
did
you have like a little bit of the food? That's disgusting.
I like that Dunkin' breakfast.
Okay, man,
sandwich.
You've already talked about peeing on my mouth, and you just described your burp. Nobody is going to listen to this podcast past 10 minutes now.
I'm sorry, all.
And we're
going to
get sued by the NFL.
Fuck the NFL.
So you think the Pats, you think it's. All right, here are a couple questions. 42-13. You think they just demolished the Falcons?
Falcons have no D.
Okay, 42-13, and I'm assuming, so that means you're going under. 59 is the over-under.
Yeah.
So you're saying under. I agree with the under. I looked back at it. Only like four Super Bowls in the last 25 years have gone over 59.
Yeah.
One of them was like 4 years ago in a dome. I think it was the Ravens 49ers when they both had those elite defenses.
Oh,
and it was like 31-29 or whatever. I go with Falcons, man. I just
I don't know. I just sometimes you just have one of those. You have a team that has that year.
It's not. This is not the year.
I think the Patriots have the better coach. I think they have the better
D.
I think that numbers wise, yeah, they have the better D. They have the better quarterback, but I think Atlanta's the better offense. But here's the thing,
I said this last week, a bunch of times, man. This is the Falcons' first foray.
Yes, I agree with you. And there's a part of me, I'm a Giants fan, so there's a part of me as a G-Men fan, it's like, yeah, Patriots win, so then you can beat every team you face in the Super Bowl except for mine. But I'm also just sick and tired of the same franchise always winning it. So for me, it would be nice. I like the owner of the Falcons. Super old guy. He's on that team for decades, so it's nice to see him get in there. And on top of that, the Patriots D, and I said this against the Steelers, and that game plan was, A, they were horribly outcoached, but B, when you lose the best running back in the NFL or top two running back in the NFL, it totally changes your game plan. But the Falcons haven't, or the Patriots haven't had to face an offense like this all year. Not one. They have never faced an offense at this high octane that is this good. My fear is, I just saw this morning that the Mac, their all-pro center, the Falcons all-pro center, he fractured his foot against the Packers. And they were saying that if this was the regular season, he'd be out 6 to 8 weeks, but they shot him up and he's playing. But he's a type of lineman that goes down the field and does the run blocking that way and gets in the passing game. So they've had a couple of weeks. And remember, this is the defense that beat the coach of the Falcons was the defensive coach for Seattle that beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So he knows how to go against this team.
Let's just call a spade here, champ. Yeah. Seattle should have won that Super Bowl.
Yeah, I picked the Patriots that year too.
It still baffles me why when you have the greatest running back going with Marshawn Lynch that you don't give him the ball when you're on the two and you make a terrible pass.
You saw that earlier in the year when it was a similar situation and they passed and it was almost an interception and Sherman went to the sidelines and went to the offensive coordinator, just started screaming at him and calling him out. I'm like, what the freak are you doing? And then in the post game, he's like, yeah, why are we not running? We saw how a pass play goes.
Marshawn, man.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, the Patriots.
I think had they gotten him a ring, he wouldn't have retired.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's killing it now. I mean, he's all over the place.
It's my dude.
Doing some fun stuff. Yeah, he's at, and a lot of people out there think he is like one of the smartest people.
One of my favorite things ever was Jimmy Fallon had him on and had him do the Super Bowl dive into like a giant pool of Skittles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was awesome.
That was dope.
He was just doing, I just saw a skit where where they have him go to, it's like Sweden or Switzerland, and he's just on like a little bike and he just goes around to all these little villages giving out free Skittles, and every single person that they show in the video montage knows him or is like, oh yes, we all watch a big game, we get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and watch, and he is just hilarious. He's gonna be one of those guys comedic wise he'll be cast in movies, TV shows, all
absolutely
that stuff. Yeah, he's gonna be good. So the other thing too is the Patriots have only every Super Bowl they've played in has been close. They've never blown out a team. The only game that they've won by more than 3 or 4 points is 7 against the Eagles that year. Other than that, every other game has come down to field goals or last second drives.
You got Gaskowski, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So all I'm saying is I don't know. I don't see a blowout.
No, I do. Trust me on this, man. They're going to choke. The Falcons are going to choke. They haven't felt pressure like this before.
You said it right there, man. That is one of the biggest choking franchises in the history of the league. So that's
my Jamie.
One thing. Yeah, sorry, Jamie. One of our friends is a huge Falcons fan. She went to school with Matt Ryan, so she has a massive crush on him.
PC.
All right, so our Super Bowl picks. So I have been
Stop touching the mic, dude.
Does that cause noise?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So how do people like adjust it whenever
use the arm.
I got to use this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I was asked.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, sorry if there's any noise. I never hear it though when I touch it.
It's because you don't have headphones on and you're not looking at the.
I mean, when I hear it on the playback.
Yeah.
So I was asked a bunch of people to finish the story.
Yeah, let's make it quick, and then we'll rip apart the Rumble, and then we'll get into our features.
So basically, when I lost my virginity, I kind of go back.
Lucky
to the
guy.
Same. Yeah.
Who? What was his name again?
I will not give the name because I can't put it.
It was Edgar, right?
Yeah. Yes. It was.
Edgar Ramirez,
yes,
Venezuelan.
It was Antonio.
He was Antonio. Your parents' houseboy.
Yep. And if you're new to this podcast, it was not a guy. So I waited a long time to lose my virginity by choice. And so I had this crush on this girl all summer, worked with her. I was going back to college, and me and my roommates had a party. And all the people that we worked with at the summer at this college sports camp came up, and we just had a blast. So
does a blast mean an orgy?
No, a blast meaning like lots of fun. Yeah. Everything is so sexual.
Well, no, because you gave me like a weird look when you said
a blast. I did.
Yeah,
I thought I was looking over here. No, there was no orgy. My first time I lost my virginity is not in an orgy. That would be a pretty good story. Maybe I should just go. Thanks for ruining my story now. Everyone's going to want the orgy version of it. Anyway, so the sex was absolutely horrendous. Not because of her, just because of the situation, how many cocktails we both had, very awkward, very this. But I woke, it's probably the worst experience I've ever had. But I woke up that morning, and I felt like a new man. Like, I felt like a champ. I was like, woo! So I was doing a little dance, so I call my mom, and
guess what, Ma? Yeah. Got some slit last night.
No, I said this. I said, because I was supposed to meet my family later that day for a wedding. So I was calling her about what time were they leaving. So I said, hey, so I lost something last night. And my mom's response was, did you lose your keys again? She goes, you're always losing your keys just like your father. I go, no, Mom, I didn't lose my keys. And I'm laughing. I said, I lost something that I held very dear to me for a long period of time. She's like, what? She's like, you could hear her thinking on the phone. She goes, did you use a condom? First thing, my mom's a nurse practitioner, so of course, like, she's coming at it from the medical side. And I said, I did. We will leave that up to...
You didn't, did you?
I can't remember. I think at one point there was. I don't know about the whole duration of it. But anyways, yes, I said I did. And she said... She said, congratulations. She goes, okay. She's like, I'm happy for you. She's like, congrats. And hung up the phone, went down to the wedding. And that's where I see my dad and stuff. And so we're out hanging out. And I come up to him, pat him on the back. I'm like, mind you, I'm 21 at this time. Okay.
Just pathetic.
I've done tons of stuff before. Well, of course, you guys don't think I lost my virginity at this age because I had it the other way before. I didn't receive anal. I had anal sex. God damn it, Dixon. You always pull this out of me with your eyes. So anyway, I go up and give my, tell my dad. And I don't know if any of you listeners out there have ever had a situation where you tell your parents and you're looking one of them in the eye that you had sex. It's very awkward.
Got they my first giner last night.
Yeah,
pops.
They assume you have, or they assume that that conversation isn't going to have to be had, especially in a public venue at a wedding. But as a psych ad, he just had this smirk on his face, like, about damn time. And, man, I was cutting up the dance floor that night. So here's tied up the story. So I had this huge crush on this girl. So I'm like, okay, the second time, totally going to – this is going to be amazing. So I give her a call, ask her out on a date. She was about an hour and a half south of – I was at SU at the time. She was at Cornell. So I meet her up for a date. I go pick her up. And on the way to picking her up, I stop at the drugstore in the Ithaca Mall. And I'm like, okay, I got to buy some condoms. So I buy a three-pack of condoms. And I didn't – so I went and picked her up. We had dinner, ice cream, whatever. I didn't even get a kiss that night. Didn't even get a kiss. Like, she was just like, okay, yeah, thanks. Like, I had a lot of fun that night, but, I'm trying to work things out with my ex, because she had just broken up with him like a couple weeks before.
Oh, so you were the rebound.
I was the rebound, man. And I was just freaking devastated. And still to
end
every day. No, not that way.
You cried.
I didn't cry. I didn't cry, but I never, ever brought condoms on a date again.
Well, I
never not saying that I didn't. I had unprotected sets. I'm just saying I am very superstitious, and I always thought I would jinx it because you're assuming something's going to happen. So I would just never bring it. And if it was going to happen, I would go and buy it with her. That's how I roll.
Yeah, you're a weirdo.
Yes.
So I'll give you one quick little story in that same vein, and then we'll jump into the Rumble.
Yep.
Was hanging out with a girl. You know, a little, just back when I was drinking. So we, you know, we both had a couple of drinks. I was probably a little stoned. And she was like, oh, we need drinks. We need snacks, something. And I was like, cool. Why don't we just roll to my place? We'll stop at like a convenience store on the way. And then we'll hang out and, you know, watch movies. Cause I had a projector in my apartment at the time. Nice. When I lived on Tip Hill. Oh, so it was like we just used the wall.
Yeah,
it was great. So it was dope. So we stop at like this gas station convenience store on the west side. I ask her what she wants, and it's like, oh, you know, just get me a Pepsi and some chips or something. And I roll in, and I'm like, all right, Pepsi, you know, six drinks for me, random snacks. And I'm like, well, fuck, I should probably get rubbers. We're going to my house, blah, blah, blah. So grab the six-pack because, you know, just it's good to have them. Get out to the car with the big bag, and we start driving towards the house, and I see her go for the bag because evidently she wanted a drink, and she pulls the condoms out and looks at me, and she's like, you're being a bit presumptuous, aren't you? And I was like, oh, no, just, you know, like stocking up for the house, like...
For my boys.
And then I realized, like, that was a much dumber thing
to say.
Yeah, that
was the worst thing.
And her face went sour, and she was like, well, I was kind of hoping they were for me. And I was like, oh, they are. They are. And she was like, well, you said stop. I was like, all right.
What do you want from me?
Yeah, like, come on, bitch. Like, I bought you a soda.
You got a Pepsi out of this. So, and then what happened? You have sex with her?
I fucked her, yeah.
Using those condoms?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was a big fan back in the day. You're my age, kind of. Well, you're pretty much the same age. Remember the ones that came in, like, the gold foil?
Oh, yeah.
And then they had, like, those same ones that were different colors?
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of the different colored ones. I'm not really sure why.
Like when you'd put the different colored rubber bands on your braces back in the day?
It would
be like
had
red.
Braces.
But no, you would see kids, it would be like red, green.
Yeah.
See, I had braces for like 8 years. That's how sweet my smile is. But you got the different color condoms?
Yeah.
Were they the glow-in-the-dark ones? Because some of them
I've done that before, and it's interesting because like you get like, you know, dark light, dark light, dark light, dark light, dark light. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really weird. Especially when you like are looking down at it and going in and out, in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yep. You're always checking just to make sure you're still in. But
what?
I've heard about you, Jay.
That what? That I'm small, or that the women I'm with are so experienced that I wouldn't know.
Little of column A, little of column B.
Little column A, little column B. Gosh, you paint such a beautiful picture of me.
Yeah, you like to ring that dinner bell, son. You know, Fancy Jay, only touching one side at a time since age 21.
Yeah, you know me. I got a medium size wang danger. That's how I roll, man. Yep. That's how I get all the beautiful women in my life. I'm a sensitive guy. I use my words. I don't have to use my penis.
Yeah.
Speaking of,
you don't need words if you have.
Do you know the difference between an innie and an outie vagina?
I certainly do. The innie looks like a beautiful, beautiful young. Like scrumptious flower, and the other one kind of looks like when Wile E. Coyote gets fooled by the Roadrunner with the cigar that blows up in his face, and it just kind of
blows. You just came up with it. You did not even know I was going to bring this up. You just came up with that metaphor right there. That was beautiful. Or like,
I have a quick wit.
Yosemite Sam, when the mustache would do the same thing when something would blow up on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
It's like you stuck a calamari in there, but like left everything but the top part. So it's like tentacle land. It's sort of like
not the tentacle. It looks like you have four lips. You have the two that are in.
It looks
and
like
then
the side the of an overstuffed roast beef sandwich.
Well, isn't there a nickname for it? Like roast beef?
Beef curtains.
Yeah, beef curtains. Yes, that's it. Gosh, I apologize for the women viewers.
Viewers, they're not
listeners.
Seeing shit.
Well, they might. So, all right. So, what do you prefer? Because there's no difference between them other than the way they look. Is there?
It's very aesthetically pleasing not to have the meat hanging out of the sandwich, in my opinion. But it's not like I've ever turned that shit away. You know what I mean? And then, like, you know, you get stoned and you try and figure out how to stuff it back in there. And it just doesn't go.
You have never done that. You have literally tried to stuff it back in while you were stoned or drunk or high or whatever other state of
euphoria. Cocaine's a hell of a drug, man.
Seriously, you didn't? What would the girl do?
She laughed.
She laughed at you trying to stick her vagina lips back in?
It wasn't like I was trying to, like, fucking, like,
the meat's coming out of the bread.
Like that Strumbella song, man. I'm young and wild.
Oh, gosh. I feel like I'm becoming punchy with you now. Something else before we get into the wrestling that I thought was pretty interesting was that, did you know in Canada, most sex acts with animals are legal?
That's part of what's wrong with that fucking country.
Everybody thinks Canada is so awesome, which, you know, and I do, except minus the weather. But
I'm not allowed there.
You still haven't
told
that
story. Next week. We'll do that next week.
All right, next week. I'm holding you to that. Dixon banned from Canada.
No, I'm not banned from Canada. I'm on the fucking terror list. Canada considers me a terrorist. Like, I'm not even allowed to try and cross the border or I will end up in jail. All
right. There's a little teaser for you. So next week we'll get into that. But no, God, this stupid freaking thing did it again.
Yeah.
I don't have hair on my lips. I looked at that, by the way.
No, but you got little hairs that you don't see, and when it gets touched, dude, they pull.
Son of a freaking. So I need that little sorry,
windscreen?
Guys. Yeah.
So other people don't get your herpes?
Yeah, pretty much.
Valtrex.
Valtrex.
Sponsor the podcast, please.
I'm a proud sponsor. Or I'm a proud user of those guys. No, can you imagine that, though? I mean, how is that not legal? Like, you can just openly, freely have sex with animals in any way?
Evidently.
Like, why as a country do you not ban that? Is it because
if you
it's
had
so
to have
cold?
Sex with an animal, what animal would you pick?
If I had to?
Yeah, like if there was a gun at your head and you were in a zoo and they were like, yo, go fuck one of these animals or I'm going to blow your brains out.
I probably would let them blow my brains out, to be honest. But if they were going to, like, say, kill my girl or my kids or something like that or somebody that I loved, well, A, it would have to be a docile animal, one that would not eat me like a tiger or a lion, one that wouldn't kick me in the back, so crush my internal organs or my penis.
No, you would be giving the sex, not
Yeah, so if I'm like do a horse or a cow, those kicks, man, are lethal. Mess you up. So I fear her. Gosh, I don't know, man. Probably... Maybe like a monkey?
You dirty monkey fucker.
Because, I mean, like, they're the closest to the humans.
I'd just take the bullet.
No, but if somebody else was going to die, if somebody had a gun to your wife.
Oh, I would disarm them and then let them shoot me.
No, you can't. That's not the scenario you said.
I'm trained, though. You're untrained in taking
first
firearms.
First of all, you're not trained.
No, I really am.
They're in a castle. They're in the main headquarters.
I've studied jiu-jitsu for 14 years.
But you're not going to be near it. They're in the main office of the zoo.
See, now you're making you're
no,
making
I'm
these,
giving you the scenario.
Amended
this isn't
fucking
some,
details.
This isn't some Steven Seagal Van Damme movie that you're making up where the guy with the gun is 5 feet away from you talking before he does anything. And then that gives you enough time to wiggle out of your restraints and karate chop.
I'm wiggling out of no restraints.
Come on, man. What would you do?
I would find the smallest animal in this, like a chipmunk. I'd fuck a chipmunk. I'd use it like one of those weird fucking sex tube things.
Oh, yeah, well, that makes sense.
Grab like the little tiny sides of its chipmunk vagina.
Dude.
And open it up just enough to just slide it and impale it on
you
my...
You don't have to get descriptive, you sick son of a bitch. I couldn't even promote this podcast if I wanted to for sponsors. We are so sick. First of all, I can understand
I guarantee
you like
UltimateSurrender.com would fucking support
You said they
us.
Haven't posted anything in like years.
Yeah, who cares?
So they went out of business.
Well, we'll find some other weird porn site.
Of course you would go to the gerbil.
I didn't say gerbil, I said chipmunk.
Yeah, they're in the gerbil family, man. They're,
no, they're not.
The
they're in the squirrel family, bish.
And so is a gerbil.
Do your research.
I will, and I will, next week, I will prove to you that they're both in the same animal family.
Dirty monkey fucker.
Are chipmunks, if I could, I'd probably do a dolphin.
At the zoo? We're not at fucking Aqua World, bro.
Yeah, at the zoo. Yeah, the dolphins are in like tanks, and they're super sensitive creatures. They love you, and it's in the water, so you wouldn't even know if you're in or not, and you're good to go.
You'd probably have the dolphin bang you.
Well, I mean, if that meant my kids would die, then maybe, I guess. Do dolphins have penises?
Seriously?
No. One chipmunk and squirrel. I'm writing all this down so we can... Are they in the same family? All right. And now on to the Royal Rumble. That was a perfect segue. So some of the highlights results of the pay-per-view. Dixon actually got to watch it live with his wife. Well, sort of, but you were there. It wasn't
about
one of those
20 minutes
things.
Behind.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those where you were reading it the next day, so very proud of you for that. So some of the highlights were the club winning the tag team belts.
I did not watch any of the pre-show, I'll be perfectly honest.
Was that on the pre-show?
Yeah.
That one was? Neville winning the cruiserweight belts.
That match was dope.
Yeah. Dude, he's on another level right now, man. He's like probably one of the top three or four.
I would love
to
see him and AJ go, man.
Oh, that'd be freaking fantastic. KO beating Reigns with Braun's help. And the AJ Cena match with Cena tying 16 times. 16 times.
I fell asleep for a good portion of that match.
The AJ Cena?
Yeah.
Hey, did you go back and watch it?
I did.
Oh, that match was amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't like the outcome. It pissed me off, but I was in it. That was one of those.
You were in that match? I didn't see you.
Man, I was in it emotionally. I was in it. Like, that should be like a WrestleMania main event. You lead up to it.
Like, see, I'm gonna be honest, man. Like, people were comparing it to Omega Okada.
Nah. Not,
I don't think it's there.
Not style-wise, bump-wise,
no,
not even work rate.
We're talking, like, as far as, like, interaction, chemistry, things of that nature. Not match versus match. But,
yeah. They have great chemistry.
I think it was all right, but I don't think it was as great as everybody perceived it to be. There were a couple of people that got real blasphemous, in my opinion, who were trying to compare it to Savage Steamboat WrestleMania 3, and I don't think it was even close
that?
To... I saw it a million times on the internet.
I wouldn't even put it in that. I would say it was one of Cena's, if not Cena's, best match ever.
I would put it on the same level as Bulldog Brett.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was...
Solid B-plus match.
Yeah. If you go back, and I probably get slapped in the face by all the listeners, but I put that in the same level as the Shawn Michaels Razor Ramon ladder match. I mean, like, you look back on it, it was... I know it was Mecca at the time, but when you look back on it, it was like,
yeah,
it was a solid.
It's hard to compare
match.
A specialty match to just a regular wrestling match.
Yeah. But quality wise, I thought.
It wasn't bad. Cena definitely pulled his Super Cena routine. But
he pulled out some moves. That's what I like about Cena now. He's in ever since that U.S. title, when
open
he was
challenge
open
thing,
challenge, yeah. He brings out different moves for different matches, which I love. Because it changes it up. Now I'm not as bored. He's not in the same category as
Five
the Reigns.
Moves of Doom.
Exactly. And the Ambroses and all that. Like, he brought it. I was like, oh, there's a couple times I had to rewind and be like, did he just actually do that? Yeah. And then AJ, dude. That dude, like, he's 39 and he's doing that?
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. Like, how lucky
you two
are
the same age. And look what he's doing. Look what you're doing.
Seriously. We are unbelievably lucky as wrestling fans to be watching him in his prime, to go against so many different styles and being able to see it as much as we are.
I would love to see him against Neville. That right now is my WWE dream match, is Neville and AJ Styles.
That would be pretty awesome. But he'll have to lose his cruiserweight belt for a while, and then when he'll lose his belt, and then he'll get like back up on the...
I don't see anybody at 205 beating him.
Not for a while, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it won't be, that match won't happen anytime soon.
Swan? No, I'm too fucking fried. The new Japanese kid, Tawaza? Tozada, something like that. The new Japanese kid that replaced basically Tajiri because Tajiri got hurt.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I can't pronounce those Japanese names for shit.
I still say Asuka.
Yeah, Asuka.
I know.
But I think he's probably the best challenger that can stand on the same level as Neville right now, unless Apollo Crews drops like 30.
You know who's really good too in that is Ali. Right? Is that
Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, man. He's man, good, man. I'm not saying personality-wise.
He works too light for me.
Yeah, but he would be. I think he would have a good match against Neville. Because Neville, you get that big guy versus little guy.
No, because you got a dude that works a relatively strong style versus a dude that works a very soft style that leaves a lot of light on his bullshit. And the thing is I think Ali, if he was retrained for TV, would be a phenomenal talent.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind, but right now with his weird Power Ranger outfit and him leaving light on every punch and kick and making all his flippy shit look like really weak and soft, like that's what's holding that kid back.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of work to do, but I just think that he's one of the few guys in that division where I see has the charisma.
Man, for me, it's Gallagher.
Oh gosh, he's awesome. Yeah. I mean, he got in the Rumble. And he had one of the most over bits. Whether you like the umbrella bit or not, he got over.
I love it. In those situations, I think it's a crutch for him.
So is there no hold, like there's no disqualification? Why doesn't everybody bring weapons down to the Rumble? Like why was he the only one in all the years I've seen?
Because they're trying to get that whole gimmick over.
I know, but I mean like I feel like Triple H would have brought like a
sledgehammer
at some point, or somebody brings a chair. Like I've never seen that before. I didn't even know that was legal. But it was awesome, especially when Jericho takes it in the nuts and then they spin the umbrella around. See, that's what I love about Jericho, man. He helps bring these he will take the hits, man. He will sell for the new generation. I love that.
I get that. And that's not the aspects of Jericho that I dislike. I hate the fact that he's not willing to change his moveset to accommodate his new, older, chubbier body. And I'm not saying that, you know what I mean? Like he's an older guy, but like, you know, at this point in his career, Terry Funk had stopped doing a lot of the stuff that he had done and went to a punch, kick, big move scenario. And I think if Jericho really wants to hold on and do this for a lot longer, then I think it's a thing that he should really think about is going back to the longer pants. You know what I mean? Only to, because the thing is, man, like coming from the music industry side of things, you know, there's a pretty strict rule that you don't wear shorts on stage because from a distance, it makes you look shorter and wider than you are.
Yeah.
So for me, you want to hide the fact that Jericho isn't as necessarily slim and fit as he once was. And I'm not calling him fat, but as you get older, your body changes.
Yeah.
Go back to the long pants, the rock star leathery, sparkly ones that you were wearing. I think it makes the scarf thing look a little bit better.
Yeah.
And stop trying to do all the stuff that you were doing 20 years ago and change your style to more of a vicious, legitimate rule breaker that can get heat with stuff like an eye rake or that old school move where you get somebody in a headlock and you rake their face across the top rope. You know, the double claw down the back. Things that aren't taxing on your body or your opponents but still get heat and leave you in that world of being like a legitimate heel.
Well, I think that's the issue right now for them is that they are quote unquote heels, but they are the most over faces on the roster right now. I mean, hell, add Braun into that now, and we'll get into that here in a second. But I feel like that's the reason why he's not doing. I mean, even when he throws the brass knuckles down to KO in the match, the crowd went.
Well, it's because everybody hates Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I have never. People always talk about when The Rock first came in, how hated he was. I wasn't watching Raw then. People talk about how hated Kevin Nash in the later years of WCW and how he would get booed out of the building. Or X-Pac. You always hear the X-Pac heat. I have never seen a guy so universally booed, like easily 85%.
Slaughter
of all.
When he turned was probably the biggest heel.
Oh, gosh. But he was a heel.
Piper during the Rock and Wrestling.
But the difference between those are Slaughter was, to me, the greatest heel of all time. Because that was like when I was a little guy and watching
that
whole.
Real.
Yeah, and the whole Iraq, and we were at war, and Hogan, American Hero, and how you throw the dust in, the eyes.
I was
the
actually
powder.
Ultimate Warrior at first, was the.
Oh, Warrior, but then it went into the huge program with Hogan.
I am a real American.
I would get goosebumps when that song would come on. But my point
is those
were character wise.
Do you know who did that song? Rick Derringer.
Yes, I didn't know that. Actually, for Christmas, my wife got me the CD of...
The wrestling album?
Yeah.
I have it on vinyl and cassette.
She ordered it on vinyl. They sent the CD. She called them, and they were like, oh, yeah, we messed up. We'll send you the vinyl. Just keep the CD. It's on us. I'm like, sweet.
No, like, I have a first edition.
The first edition of it? That's awesome. But those, but the Heat for those guys are character-wise. Like, you're supposed to hate them. Like, they're doing everything they hate. Like, Reigns, they are putting him as a face, and he's just universally hated. Like, it's not character-wise. He's not doing anything programmer or who he is as a wrestler to make you hate him. You just don't like him. And all those video montages that people put up after the Rumble.
Oh, it's great. Oh, my memes God. And stuff.
The memes of people. If you guys haven't seen it, which I'm sure a majority of you have, I will tweet some of these videos out, and I think I already have. But it's a compilation of people recording themselves, why people do
you
that.
You talk about this. I'm going to go take a leak.
It's a compilation of people who record themselves watching the Rumble. And it's always at the when number 30 is coming in. And so you're like 5, 4, and you see all of these guys and girls watching it and how much hatred they have when Roman Reigns is when Roman Reigns music comes on. And then you hear people saying like, this is what the universal comment was. You got to be fucking kidding me. Everybody said that. You got to be fucking kidding me. And I think I was at the time watching it with my girl in the living room, and I think I said the same thing. Because I was just like, you got to be kidding me that you're having him come out at number 30. But if you think about it, what was genius about that is, A, you had every single person who was watching, every single one of us thought Reigns was winning it. All of us did. Because he lost, he got cheated out of the belt against KO. You know that they want to push him. You know that they want to have him, they want Reigns in a main match at WrestleMania. And then you have him come out at number 30. And usually those last couple of guys are going to be in it towards the end, or if not in the very end. And then he throws out Taker, which a lot of people were hoping was going to win or predicted to win. And that right there just solidified us fans is like, oh, shit. He is totally going to win this. They're going to screw us again in this Rumble. 3 years in a row where he's at the end, and 2 out of 3 years, they're going to put him over. And, you know, Randy Orton does the RKO, boom, gets him out. The why that was so genius is if Randy Orton had thrown out Braun, if Randy Orton had thrown out Bray, if Orton had thrown out Ambrose or anybody, hell, you could throw Cena back in there. People would have booed it. People would have booed it. They would have been like, okay, I've already seen this before. Who the hell is Orton going to go against? I don't want to see Orton Cena. I don't want to see, like, whatever. But they cheered it, and it was a huge sigh of relief and happiness that Roman Reigns wasn't going to be the number one contender. And that was why it was genius. If you brought out Samoa Joe or Rey Mysterio or Nakamura or any of those other names that we have heard about, Kurt Angle, whoever it was, and you weren't planning on them winning it, and Orton threw them out, or they got thrown out before it was the final two, dude, that the Rumble, everybody would have hated that Rumble. Everyone would have hated it, and everybody would have been cursing at the E for it. This way, it swerved it. You were surprised with Orton winning, not me, because I predicted him. That's right. I'm awesome. But you were surprised that he won it. You kind of could see then, all right, Bray Wyatt versus Orton could be an interesting match at Mania. And more importantly, Roman Reigns didn't win. And you were happy with that. So in that way, it was pretty genius booking because I don't know anybody else on that roster that would come out. Maybe The Miz and even a bunch of us, you know, wrestling dorks that are on the internet love The Miz right now and would love to see him go at it for the belt. So even that, I don't think would have been as universally booed if he won. I think the only person you could have come in at 30, the only person you could have Randy Orton throw out of the ring and people excited that Randy Orton won was Roman Reigns. So in a way, it was genius booking by the E to do that.
Did you jump into the Royal Rumble match?
I just talked about Reigns, why him coming out 30. No, but that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. I love the so we'll just get right into it with the fans' reactions, and I segued into why it was great. It was genius.
It was Vince and Triple H trolling the universe.
Exactly. But it did two things. It swerved all of us because we all thought, okay, he lost earlier in the night. Now he's going to be the number one contender. And two is it helped put over Orton winning it because you didn't want Reigns to win it at all, and you were surprised. So that
you're missing the biggest point of why they did that.
Oh, I know it's a troll.
No, it's going to be Roman Undertaker at Mania.
Yeah, exactly.
Bish.
I think it's going to be Roman, Taker, and Braun.
No, they won't do a three-way.
You think, well, dude, I don't know what if Taker's going to be able to do anything. You might need that because supposedly after this Rumble, his body was in so much pain, and his hip is just absolutely killing him, and he needs hip replacement surgery, but he won't get it until he retires. No, it wasn't the full, he needs a full hip replacement. And
I mean, homeboy's almost 80 years old. Yeah, he's got
to
stop.
He needs to retire. And here's the other thing. I was saying this. We'll focus on this Taker now. Dude has got to stop wearing these singlets. Like, you got to, okay, you can't wrestle like the old Undertaker. You just can't. You don't, your body cannot do it. Talking about, you know,
Jericho.
He needs to, so what's getting the Taker over now is his character. Go back to the vintage old school Taker with like the blousy shirt and the hat. Freaking, what Undertaker wears MMA gloves? MMA gloves, get that shit out of here. Go back to the old school Undertaker.
Purple dishwashing gloves.
Yes. Go back to that.
Those days?
Oh, yeah. And you had the urn and go back to that, man.
It's tough. Like, Paul Bearer is dead. So it's.
But if this is the last match, he doesn't look good in a singlet and then he takes it off. And he's in better shape than most men at his age. And he's still a badass.
Him and Ric Flair are around the same age. And I dare say Taker's in better shape.
Oh, gosh. Without a doubt. Really? They're in the same age? But
they're within a few years of each other, yeah.
My point is that if you can't do the moveset and your body hurts so bad in the very short amount of time of what you were in the Rumble, because his biggest bump was just going over the top rope. Yeah. That was it. Everything else, it's just you can't do it. So like, if I'm excited to see it, I want to see like the
fuck
one last.
Fuck Undertaker, man.
Yeah, but anyway, so who do you – okay, so
– let's talk about the Royal the Rumble match.
Yeah, who you like? Big Kaz and Jericho came out first.
My biggest issue is they built this up like it was going to be the biggest Rumble match of all. And
they literally said that.
They teased these surprises, and all you got was Ty Dillinger in at 10, who most people that watched in the pay-per-view didn't know. And then every other surprise was just some other asshole off the roster. There wasn't even an old-timer that came out. Like, how do you call this the big? It was such a disappointment. Like, it would build to the fever pitch whenever somebody would come out, and you were just like, oh, great, it's, no offense, Jack Gallagher. You know what I mean? Or, oh, great, it's Ty Dillinger. Yeah. Like, you don't even give us the UK champ. You don't let, you know what I mean? Like, it was disappointing as a whole.
But the roster's so deep now.
It doesn't matter.
Rosters.
The thing is the Rumble is supposed to be that one time where you get, you know, indulged, you know what I mean? And like, you don't even have, I mean, you literally used up a spot for fuckface James Ellsworth.
Yeah, but his was pretty funny. His was comedic. His worked. I liked his more than Apollo.
It was a waste.
Like, Apollo Crews was a waste, and you know how much of a fan I am for him. He comes in, does a couple moves, and then he's thrown out. At least Ellsworth, you know, will he go in, the Braun thing, that showdown, which, you know, I brought up, and then Ambrose tricking him to go in, and then that bump that he took. And I'm not saying he did that on purpose to take it like that, but how he took it, I don't know how he was able to walk.
Because he's a regular-sized guy, you know what I mean? Like, he's not...
But damn, he brought through him like 10 feet over the ropes in the air.
Who's your Rumble MVP? Or what angle within the Rumble was your favorite thing? And then I'll give you mine.
Probably.
Don't steal mine or I'll.
Okay, you go first then.
I'm going to go Baron Corbin.
Corbin was badass.
Dude impressed the shit out of me. The fact that he was the guy that threw Braun out leads me to believe that there's something coming with the two of them at some point before this year's over. I like that he stayed in for a while. I like that he had some key eliminations. I really thought it was going to come down and he would be in the final four.
Yeah, I mean, he was my final four pick. But what worked for him was that he got a lot of, him and Braun were able to be like the big muscle and get guys out. I would say probably my favorite storyline. Gosh, you put me on the spot here, man.
Get it together, man.
The thing that got me out of my seat, the thing that made me jump. And if you're not, what the in the blue moon is that? That is absolutely disgusting if you drink that.
Pretty sure it's just.
Was the Goldberg Brock. I'm not saying it was my favorite. I'm not saying it was the best, but it's easily the most memorable. There's two things I'll take away from this Royal Rumble. That is disgusting. It looks like slime in your, it looks like a slug in your coffee.
It's
The two things I'll take away from this are Goldberg spearing Brock and immediately throwing him out after Brock just annihilated everyone. Right. And then the Roman Reigns 30. So, I mean, those are the just, and I think the Roman Reigns 30 was because it goes into what you were saying, the disappointment.
Right.
And I can't believe they're doing this, but then also being like, thank God they didn't do it. But those, if you ever talk about the 2017 Royal Rumble, that's what I'll remember. Like, I'm not going to remember half these other guys coming in and doing. Like, Kofi's spot was cool, but
really
I didn't like this.
Have, like, a cool Kofi spot. For
well, it was the one where he was on the post, and he falls down, and he hits his chest on the post, but he catches himself, which was cool, but the camera angle sucked, and so you didn't even really get to see it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree with you. Other than that, though, it wasn't a bit, it was a well-booked Rumble. It was you had the guys that you wanted to see, but when you have Ambrose and The Miz coming in and Ziggler and then immediately throwing out with no storyline, nothing happening, all because of for Taker, for Brock, for Goldberg, for Reigns, and Enzo, like you know, the last comedic bit. It was disappointing in that way. I wanted to see, like, the Ziggler, Jerry Lawler. Like, what was the point of even having the King on it other than nostalgia? Like, for me, the thing with the Rumble is I want to see multiple storylines other than just the belt. Like, I want to see something come out of it.
It should always
be
there,
even the mid-carders.
But,
but they didn't do it this time. I was disappointed with Rusev, but I understand
that. You
just got to
remember, it's a brand split Royal Rumble now. And they were never great during that era before, and chances are they won't be great now. And it's one of those things where, like, there's a
Luke Harper was awesome too.
Yeah, just the fact that there were only 11 SmackDown guys really kind of annoyed me.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you didn't even put any of the tag team guys in there. You didn't have, like,
well, I don't think there was room for that.
But I mean, like, you could have kept out frickin' well, I'm sorry, like, Big Show, did he need to be in there? I know Mark Henry is his hometown.
But again, you needed Show in there. You needed Henry in there to show the ferocity and strength of Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin.
I'll tell you one thing, man. The MVP of the entire show, and I cannot believe I am saying this, besides AJ, he's always going to be the MVP, but the guy I took away, I was just like, damn, I would be excited to see him, is Braun Strowman. Like, I'm excited to see this big monster.
He's still a little green, man.
He's super green, but he's selling it really well, man. Like, he comes across like a fucking beast.
A big retarded hillbilly.
Yes, he comes off like he's just psycho. And the other one is Corbin, man. Like,
I wish
he's really
Strowman
impressed
would
me,
stop
Corbin.
Licking his lips and doing the weird tongue thing. It creeps me out.
Yeah. The best thing that ever happened to him was separating from the Wyatts. Imagine him if he was with the Wyatts still.
Oh, he'd just be fodder.
He would be basically... Yeah. The other two guys.
All right. So all in all, overall rating of the Rumble.
I would give it a B, a solid B.
2.5 stars.
I would give it 2.5 is good. I'd give it a 3 because I think the AJ Cena and the,
I was talking the Royal Rumble match.
I thought you meant the whole card. 2.5 stars. Yeah, I'd say that's a solid 2.5.
The card as a whole, I'll bump it up to 3.
Yeah, I'd say it's
for
a solid
AJ
3.
Cena, the women's match wasn't terrible.
No. Definitely one of the more enjoyable total Rumble cards in a while.
And I loved the Neville. The Neville thing.
The Neville stuff was awesome. I'm excited to see that I guess you can't call them the club anymore, but Anderson and Gallows got the belts. They needed that desperately. So I think that they could be a nice heel run for them.
Agreed.
So that was good.
Let's move on to our features here.
So, well, real quick, let's just get it right into it because – everybody else has probably heard everyone else's comments on it. So what did you think of Raw? We're just going to concentrate on two things. Rollins' injury, Samoa Joe showing up, Triple H's speech. I mean, that's bigger news than what happened at the Rumble, if you think about it.
It sucks that Rollins is hurt again, but unfortunately I think it's going to be a problem, and it's going to be an Edge situation where he's done way sooner than he should be over the course of his career.
Well, it's neat. He just is going to have to change what he's doing.
Because it's not him injuring his knee anytime. It's always somebody else injuring his knee.
Well, the first injury was when he picked up the guy and it buckled when he had the guy on his shoulder. So that was the second one, he was thrown into a wall.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I thought Joe looked like shit. Yeah, I don't necessarily know why you have him wear his dad jeans and the shirt that would have fit him 2 years ago.
Tight dad jeans and up to his belly button. I'm like, this guy did not look like a monster. He just looked like an angry guy at a bar. And
who's that fat Indian beating up Seth Rollins?
He looked like some guy in Manhattan.
And I'm talking feathers, not dots, Indians.
Like, I was, I was disappointed with his look for sure.
Yeah.
Everything
Who's that fat fan?
He looked like that guy who's still trying to wear his high school clothes or a woman, and you're just like, come on now. You know, you maybe go up an extra size or two. Yeah. But
why would you not have him in his ring gear?
I don't know. Because, dude, I guess honestly, it's like street stuff, I guess.
But think about how long it took you to recognize who the fuck that was.
I'll tell you this. If I hadn't watched TNA before and I didn't watch NXT, I would have had no idea who he was. Like, because
there
was
a casual
nothing.
Fan watching Raw. Yeah. That's 80% of the people you just described.
Exactly. You would have no idea who he
and
was.
And I'm not trying to hate on Joe.
But he was a badass, though.
But he just looked like shit. I would have preferred he come out in his ring gear.
Yeah. He was. Dude, I hope he doesn't turn into one of these guys that just keeps hurting people. And I know he's not doing it on purpose and it's all accident, but man, he is strong style to the max. That dude is a force. And I'd say what I was disappointed about that was I wanted him on SmackDown. I just want him on SmackDown.
You know it's not going to happen.
I know, but I mean, like, who are you going to put up on SmackDown? It means Nakamura's got to go to SmackDown.
Nope, they're going to get Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, but you need another A-list guy.
You're not going to get it, man.
Who's going to go against AJ then?
Shane McMahon.
Did you hear the new Mania? We'll go right into it. The new serious rumor at Mania for Cena?
Yeah, tag team with him and Nikki versus Natalya and...
No, versus Maurice and The Miz.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it actually would probably be a pretty entertaining... not a match, but the lead up to it would be pretty entertaining.
Because like there'll be some real shit in there.
Exactly. And, you know, Cena's now going out and being the movie star, and The Miz is always saying how he is, and they both... basically kind of played this safe style through all the years with The Miz gets shit for it, where Cena never does. And The Miz always shows up and does all the same press and all that. And, you know, he's kind of like been the a voice piece for the E for this decade as well, but he never... I think it could be interesting. It's shocking that John Cena, probably still your number one guy by far, if he's not, he's 1B with AJ, but he just beat him, that...
If you're talking drawing power,
yeah,
I think he's probably second or third behind Lesnar and Goldberg.
Oh, okay, right, that's true. Yeah, right now, yeah, you're right. Yeah, those two definitely. So I'm a little shocked with that, but I mean, if it's Nikki's last match and you want to have something with her, I mean, that's cool. I mean, you got to do something with him. I mean, that or the Joe, supposedly the Joe and Cena rumors are starting to heat up again. What do you do with
Triple
H?
In that tag team match, I think the best thing that happens is John and Nikki lose. And then, like, right in the ring, he breaks up with her for real.
No, what the rumor is, I think these guys are master...
Baiters?
They're masters at marketing themselves, at promotion. If you took away from this Royal Rumble or WrestleMania, okay, so you have Brock Goldberg, 10-minute max match, okay, whatever. So you'll remember that, but is it going to be good?
Or it'll be like 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, or is it going to be good? Then you have AJ Shane, if that's the direction you're going to go.
Probably Hell in a Cell.
Or who I think it should be is Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn, because I think that would be awesome, and Sami Zayn was friends with Rollins leading into it. And he was the guy that built NXT with Rollins, the second champ after Rollins, and he can be like...
I have a way better scenario.
So anyway, so I think that, which could be cool. But if you took away, if you have that Cena match, and at the end of the match, Nikki says she's retiring, and he gets down on his knee and he proposes a la Macho Man and Queen Elizabeth, dude, that place would go crazy, and that would be one of the easily
be
top
if broke
10.
Up with her.
Because you're
I'm a sadist.
You are, and that'll never happen. But if he proposes to her and she says yes, it would be a top 5-10 WrestleMania moment of all time. Not in my opinion, but in the opinion of the masses.
Here's where I see how this should go, right? All right. So Shane hires Joe to take out Rollins. And then Joe
Wait, Shane
or not Shane, sorry.
Triple H
hires Joe to take out Rollins.
Okay.
Now, you bring Joe out with Triple H being his guy, and then you suddenly have Joe go, dude, where's my title shot? You promised me a title shot, or you promised me money, or you promised me this, you promised me that, and then Triple H turns into the typical Triple H of like, I could just as easily dismantle you as I built you up as my destroyer. Yeah. And then Joe turns on Triple H. You've now got to face Joe versus a heel Triple H, and you now have replaced Rollins at WrestleMania. If Rollins is healthy, he comes out and goes after both guys. Or if he is healthy, maybe you do a three-way. You know what I mean? It just creates – I would love to see Triple H and Joe.
I think that would be an awesome match. But does Triple H just take a step back? He, by the way, gave a super long, but he gave an awesome promo.
Man.
He basically became a face, if you think about it. He was a face in that promo.
Well,
I'm doing my job. I'm trying to separate myself.
Here's my biggest thing is, as the face, why on earth would Rollins be like, I'm going to come to your house.
With your
I'm
kids.
I'm going to mess with your kids.
Yeah.
And because you just took face Rollins into a weird, dark place where the audience was like, you know, like, yeah. What? What did you?
Yeah,
did you hear the crowd just go?
Oh, it went
quiet?
Total silent.
Where they were like, "Did he just say he was gonna fuck Triple H's kids?"
Well, and not only that, but then he calls Stephanie like a buttercup, and hey, buttercup, get in the ring or get. I'm just like, dude, what are you doing? Like, that's not.
It's not him. It's
face.
The writers, bro.
I know, but what I'm saying is like, what are you doing for this type of character? And then Triple H comes out and he goes, "I'm trying to separate. You came to my business. I'm trying to push this person away, and you keep coming after me, and." And then earlier in the evening, his kids were threatened. You're like, okay, Triple. It's kind of like the Rusev situation.
Yeah.
Put your penis away, Enzo. No wonder Rusev wants to kick your ass, and I understand why Rusev would. It's like, okay, you threatened my wife and my kids. Yeah, I want to kick your ass now, Rollins. And I have a guy coming out that's going to do my dirty work for me. I don't know. I mean, do you think that Triple H could, because of this? Okay, here's my question. If Rollins is going to get injured, where was this going? Was it Rollins, Joe at the next pay-per-view, and then that would segue into Triple H?
Yeah.
So then where was Joe going to go after that? He was going to lose his first match and then go with whoever?
No, I think the idea was to have the Rollins-Joe match have it end with Triple H and Joe teaming up on Rollins, mm-hmm. and then it becomes Joe Zane.
Okay.
Sammy makes the save.
Okay, so you did see. Oh, okay, yeah. Because I think that would be an awesome match.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
And I haven't seen it.
I just don't like Sami Zayn.
Gosh, why don't you?
Here's the thing. The last few weeks when they were punishing him, quote unquote, by making him like the ultimate geek, I kind of like that avenue for him. I think he should be WWE's version of Seth Rogen.
He is totally.
He plays that part really really well.
I tweeted and about that is very thing. Like, he's like this manic kind of guy, and he's using his fingers, and he's just like, yeah, and so da, 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 and okay, so what number am I gonna
and
be?
He totally reminds me of Seth Rogen in the early Knocked Up,
yep,
super bad kind of movies.
And supposedly that's kind of him in real life. If you ever
it
hear
100%
him,
is dude it,
everybody talks about
is.
When you first meet him, you're super annoyed with him, but then you love him. And
well, he's got severe OCD and ADHD.
So, like, yeah, it's different, and I like it. And I think that can help him get over. I'm actually, like, in the way he celebrated and was upset when Rollins lost and he got the spot. Like, I just like what they're doing with him. And he's a very good storyteller in the ring. Whether you like his ska outfit or not, he's a good storyteller.
Dude, he's a guy that I wish just didn't, I don't know, yeah. I don't want to sound rude with this. So we had a guy that I thought was super talented in the 2CW days named Jay Freddy. And he's achieved far more than I ever thought the kid would. He's gone to Japan twice now, wrestled for Wrestle 1, big stadium shows, whatever else. But for me, like, my thing with Freddy all these years is just that he's that guy that just looks like any other default wrestler in a video game. Regular pants, regular haircut, nothing really distinctive. And that's my issue with Sammy. You know what I mean? Is he just has, like, tights, boots, short hair, and a beard. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing about him that really stands out. And I think that's a big part of why some of these guys don't get over is because they're left to their own devices with their ring gear, where back in the day it was never that thing. I think if you give Sammy something... I mean, he doesn't have that typical wrestling body, so if you were to put him in, like, a super crazy thing where he has, like, a full suit that goes to the shoulders and just his arms are out, you know what I mean? Like, something that just...
Like MVP? What, he used to wrestle
but not
in?
Shorts.
Not shorts. Okay. Oh, but pants with
Yeah. it would make him stand out more because he doesn't just look like every other guy on the roster.
But do you think that – see, I guess I completely hear what you're saying, but at the same point, to play devil's advocate, I feel like because of his red hair, his red beard, and not having that typical jacked CrossFit body or super cut, he does kind of stand out. I think what was always lacking for me was, yes, he always played the underdog, but his personality when he was being interviewed or when he was backstage, it just was, like you said, it was very vanilla, it was very plain. Yeah. Now with this kind of neurotic behavior and him being all over the place and annoying people, but also still going on the ring and being badass and being able to do all of his moveset, I think it'd take him to that level where more people are going to be invested and interested in him.
But again, you know what I mean? Like with the ring gear, like it's just this default black and white thing. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Be colorful. Be
have something different.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the biggest.
Well,
thing.
That's the reason why so many. I think that's one of the main reasons why people hate Reigns. Not one of the main, but I think
if that dude would go to regular wrestling pants and no shirt,
yeah,
it would make a huge difference.
He would look so badass. I hope they do that
when he was
heel.
Leaky down in Florida Championship Wrestling. He wore like these neon yellow green. Polynesian style tights and had elbow pads, and he looked like you would look at him and just be like, that dude's going to be a star.
Or even if he dressed like how the Usos dress now, where you don't have to go the Polynesian or Samoan style, but you go with you just have your own style. Or
there's too many dudes that are allowed to wear shirts, and it just takes away from. And I'm not trying to be like. You know, weird and
that's not weird.
Know, like,
no,
more erotic about it, but like
he wears a vest.
You got to look at it from the perspective of a lot of longtime fans grew up with like just dudes in black boots and black trunks and whatever else. And there's just too many guys wearing street clothes and sort of taking the whole idea of professional wrestling away from professional wrestling. And I get that it's you know sports entertainment, but by the same token, man, like you think. I don't know. I'm over the fact that like you got Owens, Ambrose, Luke Harper, Roman Reigns, and half of the guys in NXT wearing like
jeans
and shirts.
If you wear denim now, it means you're a good guy.
Evidently,
denim equals good. No, I agree with you. I think what is missing on this roster more than anything is, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why. Even in a small way, Jericho's over. You're missing the flashiness. You're missing the over-the-top, what Ric Flair used to have, what Macho Man used to have, what even The
Look
Rock
Bobby
when he
Roode
first
down
came
in,
NXT. He was wearing those crazy shirts. Yeah, Roode, exactly. That's the reason why he's over, because he's got that Flair-esque gimmick.
Because he comes to the ring in a robe,
yeah.
Takes it off, and he's in trunks and boots.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's you don't have anybody with any flash or style that comes down. I think... Style-wise, I think the best guy on the entire roster, style-wise, is AJ. The way he has his gloves that match the boots.
SmackDown-wise, yeah, absolutely.
Like, he's matching. He's different than everybody else. And his stuff looks badass. Like, you see those gloves, and you're like...
Well, he spends a lot of money on his shit.
Yeah, like, I would see myself wanting to wear that. So...
All right, we're down to 30 minutes,
yep,
and we got a bail, so...
XFL doc. Did you see that 30 for 30?
I have not watched it yet.
So,
it's on my
so
DVR.
Good.
Don't ruin it for me.
Highly,
skip
highly
it until
recommend
next week.
It. Very, very good. Bret Hart is 100% cancer free, prostate cancer, which is awesome. Rock and Roll Express are rumored
to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you like that?
Nope.
I've never seen them.
Awful.
Ever once.
Two like tiny little skinny 80s butt rockers. And Robert Gibson was one of the worst workers of all time, in my opinion. If I had to make a list of guys that were at the top in the 80s who were the drizzling shits as workers, Robert Gibson would be in my top three.
Why do you think so many tag teams hold them up into such high regard?
Because they were the first, like, high-flying tag team.
Oh, okay. Kevin Kelly.
And when I say high-flying, I mean, like, they did drop kicks.
Yeah. They were the Rockers before the Rockers.
Way before, yeah.
Yeah. But that's not that kind of style where it was a little bit more.
It was awful.
Yeah. Did you like the Rockers?
I
thought they were awesome.
I like when they were the Midnight Rockers in the AWA. I thought they were spectacular because they worked with a bunch of talent that really put them over.
Yeah.
When they came to the E, I thought they got lost in the shuffle a little bit. But when Shawn Michaels put Marty Jannetty through that barbershop window, so, man, I popped so big.
Kevin Kelly is leaving ROH to free up his time with other projects. I guess there was some drama behind the scenes. So he will come in for special occasions.
Well, he was a Carino guy, so once Carino left, he kind of knew it was coming.
Freeze him up with New Japan. Lucha Underground is officially coming to Netflix. Season 1 and 2 are expected to be debut on the streaming service in mid-February. But the company will continue.
How do you say
air.
Netflix and chill in Mexican?
Netflix and, I don't know, chillo? Chillo?
Netflixo and chillo?
Yeah, Netflixo and chillo. Kevin Nash revealed on Instagram that he's undergoing surgery for his 31st time. Dude, torn rotator cuff, a detached rotator cuff, a torn bicep and torn labrum. And then this dude is lifting in a gym and he takes a picture of him. Like sometimes... I know you put your body through a ringer, but if you're doing that and you have all that damage, then no wonder you're having all this freaking
surgery. Fuck you, Kevin Nash.
You don't like him either?
I just think he's dumb.
One of your all-time favorite wrestlers, son, Brian Pillman Jr., recently contacted Lance Storm about training to be a professional in his Storm Wrestling Academy in Canada. He was referred to Storm by Steve Austin. He passed when Pillman passed away, he was only 3.
Yeah,
and his sister, half sister, stepsister, I don't think it was stepsister. I think it was half sister. Passed away. She was getting into wrestling.
Yeah,
and she passed away in a car accident, like 26 years old. So, this kid has had to deal with some grief over the years. So hopefully he will. I guess he was a pretty good football player. Didn't play collegiately, but high school wise, pretty good.
As long as he's got that Pillman blood, he'll be good.
Yeah, Finn Balor was not cleared to return to the ring for the Rumble, but he's expected to be in WrestleMania 33. Any idea where you want to see him?
I'd love to see him win the Battle Royal.
Really? Why? He doesn't do
because
anything.
I think it puts over his ability to
the little guy.
Yeah.
Slobberknocker, My Life in Wrestling, from Hall of Famer Jim Ross, will be released on Tuesday, October 3rd. I'm excited to read that book because he's not tied to anybody. I think he'll be.
If there's a ghostwriter involved, I'd be all right. But the stuff I've read of Jim Ross just has a tendency to not be.
Oh no,
all
he's
that.
Writing it with Paul O'Brien.
Then it's probably a good read because the stuff that he doesn't have ghostwriters on is just the most boring.
Yeah, it's like bullet point very.
Yeah.
And then lastly, AJ Lee revealed in a blog post about her battling with bipolar disorder for most of her adult life, which is
really?
She was alternating periods of mania and depression. Here's something, though. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, bipolar disorder affects approximately 5.7 million adult Americans, so about 2.6% of the population, 18 or older.
Yeah.
So it's a scary, I don't want to call it disease, but... what do you call it? Mental
health?
Yes. You can. And if you don't know what you have.
You don't know what you got till it's gone, bro.
That's right. You think CM Punk is dealing with that well?
He might be a little bipolar himself.
And on that wraps up our wrestling. B-side choice cut of the week. Dixon, take it away.
You already have yours, so you go first.
My B-side choice cut of the week is going to be a little bit different this week. It's going to be a repeat because I watched it again, and this movie is phenomenal. Sing Street. Go watch Sing Street. It's streaming on Netflix. It takes place in Dublin, Ireland in the 80s, where this kid who has to go to this school where he's kind of being bullied, and his older brother is bringing him into the world of music, of like whether it's Duran Duran or The Cure. And this kid, in order to get this older girl interested in, forms a band, and they create their own music. He writes the music for her. The movie is about them shooting music videos, because that's right when the music video genre came in and blew up, like the Duran Durans and all those. And about them going after a dream. The music's awesome. The directing, the acting's awesome. Sing Street, Netflix, easily one of my top 2 or 3 favorite movies of 2016. And everybody needs to go check it out. You would love it, Dixon.
I doubt it, but...
It has a happy ending, so you'll probably hate it. But you would love it from the music aspect.
I like happy endings when I get a massage.
Jeez, that's got to bring me down. No, but you would like it from the music side of it.
Maybe.
You're a big historian into music and know a lot of... And it's about rock and roll, so I think you'd like it. I highly recommend it. Watching with my girl... She loved it. It's one of those that is pretty awesome.
Your side piece or your wife?
Both.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I split it up with them. Well, I have 2 wives and only 1 side piece, so that's how I roll.
There you go.
Yeah, you know how. All right, what's yours?
There's this little web
series. Just
kidding,
real quick. Just kidding. There are no side pieces or
just the two wives.
No, I'm not Mormon. You put that out there like you did when you had
the male version of HPV.
HPV, yeah.
I misspoke. I meant to say HBO.
HBO, okay.
Yeah. My B-side choice cut of the week this week is this new video series. Syracuse-based radio station 95X has this dope-ass dude making, like, these cooking demonstration videos now. You can check them out at 95X.com or the 95X Facebook page. Just search 95X on Facebook and check out these Eat Local segments with this dude named Dixon. He went through three videos. One was, because it's the Super Bowl, so we did, you know, they decided to have this cat make some guacamole and some barbecue butter shrimp and this chocolate-covered strawberry trifle. So if you're looking, you know, for a way to make some very easy but delicious recipes, check out 95X.com or the Facebook page, because this dude is trying to transition from radio to TV. And the more you watch it, the chances are he'll have the opportunity to. And that dude, well, that dude's me. So do it.
Yep. Yeah, you're very, 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 very talented.
Can I say something that might come off as braggadocious?
I'm producing something for Dixon to take out. We're going to do a little Hollywood Food Network style show.
I'm down. So, you know. Yep. I will. I'm pretty proud of this, man. We did 90% of those three videos in one take.
Yeah. You can tell because the camera shot.
Yeah.
It was just one continuous take.
Yeah. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Dude,
for a dude that has pretty limited on camera background, I think I do pretty well.
Yes, you do.
I'm not trying to come off like a dick with this, but like
I'm
surprised. I surprise myself at how smooth these things go. I'm always like, should we do that again? And everybody's just like, no, that was perfect.
Well, what people don't realize is that if you are a natural in front of hundreds or thousands of people on stage, like you are, whether it's introducing a band or in a band, you're a performer. And you are also very talented on the air where it's live and you have to talk and come off the top of your head and sound coherent and entertaining. So the only difference is that you have video on it. It's not live. I mean, you can always cut it. And so for you, you're just taking your talents from the other areas that you've been doing for years now and putting it on there. What I find that is impressive out of all of that is that you – of all your knowledge on food. It's one thing to be like, okay, I'm going to be the funny guy. Who's that like guy?
Oh, Guido Ferry from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That's like, his real legal name, by the way, Guido Ferry.
Okay, so that guy, Guy Ferry, Guido Ferry, like he's just a wild and crazy looking guy. But
I've been challenging him to fights on Twitter. He doesn't respond.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Have you really? Yeah. You to a fist fight or a food fight?
No, a real fight.
Oh, jeez. Come on, man. You can't be doing that if I'm going to take you out to Hollywood.
Well, I'm trying to garner some attention. I would like there to be some like TMZ thing where it's like local DJ in Syracuse beats up Guy Fieri, takes his spot,
but
steals the Mustang.
The difference is that you're not going to, he's not going to respond to you. You got to build your name and then you go after him. That's when TMZ shows
up. I got quite a few Twitter followers, bro.
No, I know you do. But TMZ, I mean, I'm sure he probably gets 100 death threats a day.
Oh, I'm not death threatening him. I keep being like, yo, Guy, you think you're all that. Why don't you put up your spot versus me in a fist fight? Because he's way bigger than me.
Yeah, because he eats so much.
Well, he's 5'10". I would probably estimate around 240. I'm 5'8", 5'9", in boots, 173 pounds. I'll smack the shit out of that fucking itinerary.
Well, according to you, you'd also use your jiu-jitsu skills and take away a gun and not have to have sex with an animal. So, of course, you'd be Guido Ferry.
Yeah.
Guy Ferry.
I'm well trained.
Just hold your like fighting and stuff. I got to go out and you know, we're producing something, so I can't be like, oh, is that the psycho guy?
Yo, can you help? Nah, man, can you help me meet Claire Robinson?
Is that food? She made your top five, didn't she?
Lips.
Didn't she make your top five?
Oh, yeah.
Which is a perfect segue, top five. Each week, we pick a category that we have to give our top five for. So this week, what are your top five searches when you're looking at porn?
Ooh.
Top five searches when you're looking at porn. Not porn sites, when you're specifically looking for something to watch. Yes. It doesn't matter. I mean, yes.
You want to go back and forth, or do you want all five?
We don't have to get the details of why you're watching. What's that, back and forth?
Yeah.
Sure.
You want me to go first? You want to go first?
You can go first.
Busty.
busty. Now, what is busty? Like just
big titties.
Big titties. So is it big titties or
in porn world,
it's
busty.
Called busty.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never known that. I always thought you just type in big boobs or, you know, whatever word you
if you're
use 12,
yes.
Oh, but busty is for a more mature,
like
older man.
That's like a legitimate porn.
Number five is, for me, kind of like the, it's just like.
Oh, I started in number one.
That was your number one? Oh, come on.
I like
on.
Big yeah, jugs, man.
You got to go five down. All right, go with your number five. Do you even have these? No, you don't. You're just coming off the top of your head.
Well, I'll just bust out my five, and then you can just do your five. It's usually busty,
okay.
Homemade, because I prefer, like, you know, natural, raw action. I'm also, like, a big fan of...
Like when a couple puts up their own video on it?
Yeah. Ebony, which I'm a fan of that. What else? So it's busty, homemade, ebony... Amateur and probably I'm a big fan of I'm trying to think of like a polite way to say this without coming off creepy.
I don't think you have to worry about that for this show or the many more or the many before it.
Facial dislike.
Oh, you like the completion? Face.
But yeah. Her not being stoked on it.
Oh my gosh, really? Yeah. Like where she's like angry about it?
No. Where like it like surprises like
the amount
like,
of it?
Either the amount or the ferocity of its expulsion.
Well, so how do you search that, or do you
just
watch
put in
them
facial
all?
Dislike?
Oh, it's you put in dislike after the facial.
Yeah.
And the, oh my gosh, never even heard of that.
I'm a dark dude.
You are, man. Facial dislike.
Yeah. And I'll throw in a sixth one.
Six, man.
And it's called Painal. Painal.
I'm assuming I know what that is.
Yeah.
Really? Why do you like, but when you are a gentle lover, why do you like
that.
All of this? Like,
I wouldn't
pain?
Say that.
Are you one of those guys that like that shit where it's like, I was looking at like some of the top searches in porn, and one of like top five in 2016 was burglar. Do you like that stuff where it's like the girl's surprised and she's tied up or she?
No,
ends
I'm
up
not
being
not
the burglar?
Into like BDSM. I don't know. Like I have a pretty dominant personality, which you know I'm very 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 type A. And when it comes to relations, it's the same thing.
So is the painal like? Is she enjoying it, or is it like it just?
I'll let you check it out for yourself.
I'm not searching that, man.
Painal.com.
There is no such thing.
There really is.
Is there really? Yeah. No way, man. That's like probably, first of all, I advise no woman to ever go and search that or to go to that website because you'll never want to try it.
That's true. But
don't
ever
do
that. Most of these girls aren't trying it, they're being, you know, surprised. It's a little game I like to play called Air Force.
So they're being like.
Yeah, well, that didn't catch your attention at all.
Air Force.
Yeah, aim high.
Aim. Jesus. I don't get it.
You're behind the girl.
Yeah.
And you're aiming high, so not.
Yeah, but why does she? So is it like outtakes of videos? Like the girl just thinks it's a regular sex video and then he
no,
puts it
No, it's
in.
Like backroom casting couch where he like coerces her into it. But
yeah, but
like,
those
well,
are all fake.
Directors want to see.
Yeah.
But the pain part isn't. The fucking begging to stop isn't. You know what I mean?
And like, so the guy's raping her.
It's not rape. It's just
it
like
is if she's girl, asking him to stop.
Not, you know what I mean, but like he always stops.
After he's done?
No, but like, I don't know. There's just something about, I don't know. This paints me into a picture that...
Everybody likes... Many people like rough sex. Majority of people like a form of rough sex. I have no problem with that. I'm just trying to picture what is actually happening in the videos.
A lot of times, it's girls that consent to it and don't realize what they're consenting to.
And then was it like this, you know,
most
Mandingo
of it,
coming out and just
no,
like...
Most of these videos for me, and this makes me a sick fuck and I don't care.
Wait, hold on. You're punchy. You haven't had sleep in 3 days. You sure you want to say
yeah,
this?
Yeah.
You
like,
sure you want to say okay.
It's like people having like regular sex and then you pull out too far and accidentally shove it in the girl's ass. And then, of course, there's a funny response because she just got an unlubed dick up her ass.
It's a funny response for the guy, not for the girl, I'm sure.
It's hilarious on video. You know what I mean? Because it's just like, especially when they're like foreign and you can't make out what they're saying, but you can tell she's pissed. It's awesome.
But that's like 1 second. And then
sometimes it's a little more because, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's the aftermath of it where, like, she's freaking out and smacking the shit out of him and he's, like, trying to apologize and, like,
oh, okay.
I find that shit funny. I don't know why, but it makes me laugh.
So you watch
like,
it
I'm not,
to laugh,
I'm not trying,
not
I'm not trying
to
find it to rub one out to it, yeah. But, like, I will definitely go and watch that shit to laugh my ass off.
Jesus. Oh, God. You are a sick, sick, sick man, Mr. Dixon. All right, I don't even need to give my five.
Why is that?
Because I feel like your five take the gig, but my five specific girl, like number five, like if I really want to like hone in on one girl, and then I'll just go through her.
Who's
videos.
Your favorite? Who's your favorite commercial video porn star?
Gosh, I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Just say it Mia, the best you can.
Mia something. Mia with an M. She's blonde. Well, no, she's like dirty blonde, darker hair. She's one that can do like crazy different poses and bending and.
Yeah, no idea.
You would know her. She's gorgeous. I don't know. I have a list of the names. Like I'll write them down to remember later on, but I don't have them memorized. Not like back in the day when it was like porn stars were, you know, like
I'll
freaking
Gianna
NFL
Michaels
stars. Now they're who?
Gianna Michaels.
Yeah, you do like her. Mm-hmm. I do like the. I'm definitely more into like the where it feels amateur.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But it's definitely you know, it's not. Planned, yeah, but yeah, it feels that way rather than the whole commercial produce. So a specific girl for, I haven't watched this recently, but it was always one when I was younger, teacher, student. I was
not
like
into
that,
it.
Dude. I was like that when I would be like, if you want good grades. Yeah, you have to stay after class. You've been a naughty boy. And then, boom, it was like sex on the desk. I was like, ah. That was always awesome. Three, scissoring, but it's called
two dudes.
Tribbing is the porn search name, the technical term. There is nothing. I'm not huge into lesbian porn. Like, I'll watch it if the two girls are out. But the one thing that's my go-to is the scissoring aspect of it, man. That's top-notch.
All right, let's jump into the next two because I got to piss like a racehorse.
Threesome, two girls, one guy, Dixon. Two girls, one
two
guy.
Two dudes.
Two girls, one guy. Threesome. And then I've been on this kick, man. Stepmom. Stepmom, man. That's the MILFy or stepmom slash MILF.
I have a strict 25 and under policy with porn.
See, I'm huge into it's that age group, and then I like the
check out mompov.com.
Mompov.com. Never heard of that.
I'm a P.
Dude, you can't leave me right after I say that. Mompov.com.
Get him writing it down.
I'm gonna go pee. We'll be back.
Try.
Okay.
All right, so we're back, and thankfully, we're about to finish up
all that. All that porn talk had. Made Dixon go to the bathroom to touch it.
It was weird that you were watching, though. Well, actually,
really.
Kind of.
No,
it,
but anyway, stepmom MILF. Are you going to cut out that like middle part so it's not like dead silence? Did you write it down?
Yeah, I can tell where the empty spot is by looking at the wave file.
Okay, stepmom MILF. Yeah, I'm digging like the older women that are still hot because they're like I don't know.
I told
younger
you why
guy,
I don't like
women.
Older women, right?
Why you don't?
Yeah.
Because when you were 15, you were molested by a 24-year-old?
No, actually, I liked that. I had a weird dream when I was like 19 or 20 that I had sex with an older woman and her pussy felt like sandpaper or like a cat's tongue. So I just always avoided it.
Because of a dream?
Yeah. It was very vivid.
That must have been. Like, that must have been like the worst nightmare you ever. You never had sex with an older woman besides like once you got out of your teen years?
Once. It was in the interim between my ex and my wife. I was 38. She was 41. And I was just like, you know what? I'm a new guy now. Let's try some new stuff. I didn't like it.
You got to find ass.
Titties were all deflated. The giner was a little weird. I have a pretty my other rule with banging.
Giner was weird.
I tried to avoid having sex with chicks that had kids because, you know, just it's not the
same
afterwards.
that is such a fallacy right there, man.
I don't know. I have experience with three or four of them, and it was
the key to it is if a woman cares. And she has them when they're, and she has the kids when she's, you know, in her 30s to 20s. She's doing it like late 30s, 40s, who knows? Kegel exercises are always key. And so many women do it and you don't even know it when they're right next to you. And two is, man, I have never been disappointed, ever been disappointed after a woman has had a kid.
It was like
ever.
Wile E. Coyote blowout mouth kind of situation like we talked about earlier, where like, and I'm pretty wide, like, if we're being honest, like I can typically tear up both sides. I might not hit the bottom.
I am pushing myself away to the back of the room right now.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't have as much fun with girls that had kids as I did with girls that didn't.
Probably because they wouldn't let you panel them.
I don't like anal sex. I really don't. Like it's something I'm not really into. Like the girl has to ask multiple times in order to get me to do it. There's more like set up and clean up, and I don't like it. Like yeah. It makes the room smell, and I'm just not into it.
What kind of women have you been with that makes the room smell?
Dude, you're putting
yes,
your penis into the place poop comes out
yeah,
of.
But most women don't poop like dudes, man.
No, they do.
No. Again, maybe it's just the women that I hang out with, but or have been with, but they don't. Like...
I labored under the delusion.
I will not
that
go into a discussion
for years and years and years.
No, not years and years, but
no, forever. I really did.
They never pooped once.
I just acted like that doesn't exist.
So what happened the first time you were ever with a girl and she like went into the bathroom and she just blew it up?
Oh, I just pretended like it didn't happen.
You just were like la 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 la, plugging your ears and your nose, la la la.
Why would I be in there?
Not in there, but you're in the bathroom or in the bedroom, I mean.
What kind of women are you with that they're dumping while you're, like, shaving or something?
I've never had it when I'm in the bathroom or shaving. But what I'm saying is that they don't do it, like, guys just go in there and explode or go multiple times a day. Girls, like, it's, like, very potpourri.
I think your wife hides it from you
it's
very
like
well.
It's like little rabbit turds, and then it smells like flowers and stuff.
You're now laboring under a delusion that does not exist.
They can go, so. Like, 2 weeks without pooping.
Wrong.
A week. That's wrong. Not wrong. Okay, all you women listeners. And I'm not talking about my wife here because I will seriously end up in a hospital.
Does she listen to this?
She says she does. But
hi, Carrie.
If she don't get out her name, man, and people will be looking her up and stuff. Stay away, sickos out there.
or they'll tell her, Fancy Gary and Fancy Jay.
All right, last thing. BS question of the week. If you were stuck on an island and you could only bring six people, who would they be?
That's awkward. That makes like seven people. That means one person's not getting laid at all.
Fine, five people.
All right, let's go with five. Bring in the wife.
Five plus you, so that's six total.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bring in the wife.
Yeah.
Man. I'd probably bring a woman that my wife was attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, kind of mix things up if I'm stuck there for the rest of my life. You know
yep.
what I mean? I'm going to bring somebody I know that has, like, excellent outdoor skills.
But who?
I don't know these people yet. I would bring somebody that's good at hunting.
Okay.
And then last but not least, somebody that's pretty fat but not super fat. So if it became a Lord of the Flies situation, we could eat well for a while.
You're piggy?
Yeah.
Read that book, man, in sixth grade. That thing scared the crap out of me. Then the movie. You ever see the movie?
Movie was awful.
No, but when that boulder falls on his head and you see it just like crunch down in, that gave me nightmares. So, okay, that's yours. Mine is my girl, my two kids, The Rock, and a girl, whoever that girl is, for The Rock. So The Rock will never go after my woman. And then my kids can have somebody to... because I have two sons, they can, you know, they can duel it out between those three. That'd be my five. So, girl, two boys. I want to bring my dad, but you know he's a little older, so I don't know how long he'd last on the island. So,
great food source.
No, I didn't say you'd have to eat the people. I just meant that you were on an island with him. And then the great one, and then a lady for the great one, so he doesn't try to tap.
How about his wife?
Tap mine. He is not married. But his girl.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he can choose. Fine,
worst,
his
worst,
girl.
Worst
who's
top
very
five
sweet,
ever.
By the way. How's that worst top five? You went like a hunting guy, an environmentalist, a hot chick, a hot chick for my wife, and then me, and I don't know. Who's your other one? Who's your fifth?
A fat person that wasn't too
person,
fat, so that we could eat them if we had to.
Dude, mine blows yours away.
Nah, whatever.
Yeah, and I didn't say that you would have to eat people. All right, so that was the BS question of the week.
What else we got?
God, wait, who do you hate?
Oh, the God, you're going to get me all riled up. And then
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
asleep.
Yeah.
All right, so cuntbag Sonny just got out of jail again and started fucking trying to get sympathy because she feels so bad that China died. Oh, and it's just like, bitch, why don't you follow suit? Eat a bottle of pills and then see what happens.
No.
See
you
what happens.
Can't do that, dude.
I just said eat a bottle of pills. I didn't say die. I'm not telling that bitch to die. I'm letting
you
fate.
Said and see what happens.
And see what happens.
You know what happens because it happened to China.
Well, no, China also mixed it with alcohol and some
well,
some
non
narcotic.
Most people when they take a bottle of pills, they're
saying,
they're not slurping it down.
I'm
with
not saying
water.
Wash it down with water, sweetheart.
Yeah. Dude,
I hate these opportunistic fucking retards.
Wait, okay. So what does she say about China?
Basically, she's trying to get herself WWE sponsored rehab again, which she has. And I get it. It's cool. But, like, when you get out of rehab and then you brag on the fact that Vince just spent, like, $130,000 to get you out of rehab and then you start using again and get jailed again and get a DUI again, it makes you a shitty person. And at this point, like, if I'm Vince, I'm not writing those checks anymore. I'm letting you just suffer out there on your own. And you're trying to play the sympathy card with this with China Joni Lore, who frankly didn't deserve what she got from the E. You know, she was led astray by certain people who will I'm not going to like call out here because I think they know who they are and they feel guilty enough and they've already been exiled from the business enough. We're talking about Sean Waltman here. And, you know, maybe we can hate on him another time. But the fact of the matter is Joni died kind of sad, kind of alone because she was exiled from the industry for a bunch of things that, quite frankly, other people were responsible for and not her. Tammy Sitch, Sonny, whatever you want to call the stupid bitch, is responsible for all of her actions. You know what I mean? She wasn't led astray by somebody. She's just a shitty human being who's made a bunch of bad decisions, and she's now suffering from that in her life, and deservedly so. So here she is. She's going to waste a bunch of more of Vince's money at rehab, come out and go through this whole vicious cycle again. So let's just save all of it and just be the drug addict and let life take its course of nature with you and let karma deal you your hand. And then we'll all like think back about the good days, which was like, what, 7 months when you were Sonny and actually attractive and not like trying to break up marriages backstage by sleeping with guys like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and then becoming, you know, what essentially I blame you for Chris Candido's death the same way I blame Courtney Love for Kurt Cobain's. So, bitch, I'm glad you're out of jail. Enjoy some drugs. Let's see what happens. I hate your guts.
And on that note, you can follow us on Twitter at B Show Wrestling. You can follow us on Facebook and like our page at The B Show, a Wrestling Podcast. Or you can email us at The B Show, a Wrestling Podcast at gmail.com. Please subscribe, download, review, pass it on to your friends. Just leave a little review. Say, hey, it's awesome. Or, you know, hey, this is crazy.
Dixon guy scares the shit out of me.
Or, hey, Fancy J isn't fancy. I don't care. Just give it an awesome review, please. You can do it in iTunes. Just subscribe to it. And then hit us up on social media. We love interacting and taking questions from you guys and comments.
Painal.com.
Ah, Jesus.
Ladies, send
notes. No. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Until next week. By the way, we've done this for 1 year, over 1 year.
Ugh.
Yeah, you love me.
Bumming me the fuck out. Bye-bye.
Toodles.
Bye.